This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Lady to Lady listeners, we wanted to let you know we recorded this episode a few weeks ago. And before we get to this episode, we want to take a moment to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion.
Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights.
To learn more about what you can do to help, go to choice.crd.co. We encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word.
I'm Babs Gray, and we're called pansexuals because we always have someone on the back burner. Hey!
I'm Brandy Posey, and if you don't have at least a little TMJ, you're not paying attention.
I'm Tess Barker, and 25 years ago, Wet Seal told me that thongs were the only acceptable underwear for cool girls, and I've had fabric up my butt ever since.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Cool girls, we're cool girls.
With fabric up our butt.
Fabric up our butt, cool girls. what's up? How are you guys?
I mean, you know, waking up slowly. We recorded this one very early.
This is an early one. Thank you. I started taking classes again at community college and had a 10 a.m. piano. So I appreciate everyone doing earlier.
It's 8 a.m.s. We're knocking it out. Going to have the rest of my morning to do other work. So I appreciate that.
That is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That part's great. Mm-hmm. Are you in person in class or is this over Zoom?
In person twice a week and then like the rest of it. Because it's like an intensive. So it's 5 weeks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But I love the new teacher. Haven't had her before. She's just like such a dorky, like older lady who you can tell loves teaching. Perfect.
Aww.
You know.
Yeah.
And she like has made like multiple references to being a cat owner. Said Aww. She's like, I have four cats. Does anyone else here have cats? And like we all have to list how many cats we had. I love her.
That's like the most community college thing of all time. I love it.
It's so cute. And she just like is very excited to be teaching and it's great. So
Aww.
Yeah. So it's just like it's annoying because I'm like back at square one again, just like, God, get these things into my brain. I just need to keep fucking practicing, obviously, but
Yeah.
That's
sure.
like really the toughest. I think the toughest part of like the learning curve is that beginning part because it's like not really fun yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's just annoying because I've done it so many times at this point. I feel like this is like my fourth time restarting. So it's just like, but it's good, you know. So thanks.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Like
Brandy said, we will just would like an invite to the recital.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Very excited for the recital. Mm-hmm. We'll bring you flowers.
Mm-hmm. Saints Go Marching In is going to be every song played.
I mean, a total bop every time.
Let's, should we introduce our guest?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I think so. Well, real quick, we're taking July off for our live shows, or our Zoom shows, but we'll be back in August for the rest of the year, the first Sunday of every month. So put them in your calendar now and get ready to come to those.
Yeah, so our next one is August 7th. And man, our last one was so much fun. We had an incredible drag burlesque performance that like blew my mind. It was just a really fun show. So we're always bringing something new to these Zoom shows, so come hang out with us.
Absolutely.
And yeah, our guest today, oh, we love her so much. We had her on the show a long time ago. It's been a while. And she's got an incredible off-Broadway show going on right now called Oh God, a show about abortion. So if you're in the New York area, you can go check that out. And hopefully she'll be taking it on the road soon as well. She's also got a podcast called Ruined Podcast. And yeah, check out our hang with Allison Leiby. Let's say hi to our guest, everybody. So excited to have her on the show again. Allison Leiby, hi.
Hi.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, hey, hey. How are you guys? It is early for you.
It is early.
It's early. And I definitely had very grand plans last night because I like to like do my Wordle and my little Rosetta Stone and walk the dogs. And definitely was like, I'm going to get up an hour before and do all that. Aww. And for sure hit snooze 4 times. And barely had time for my dogs to pee.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm working with over here. Jack got a very quick walk around the block. I was like, you've smelled all the smells already. You literally do this 3 times a day, every day for 13 years.
13, getting so old.
I know, he's a little old man. Aww. Well, he's actually older than that, but our 13th anniversary is coming up in a week and a half.
And then it's always just kind of guesstimate of how old a dog actually is.
Yeah, although I did.
Yeah.
I got a weird, there is a new weird test that will tell you their age within 3 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. And Bark just came out with it. So I'm trying it. And to get my dog to get his saliva, you have to swaddle him very tightly like a baby and just hold his skull back and then just shove it in his mouth a while.
Because just a slight traumatic event.
It's so like, worth
I want to know that you're 14, not 13.
I know. We do so much.
Yeah, that's the least they can do is tell us how old they actually are.
Yeah. I just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, when I adopted Garth, the shelter said he was a stray. Mm-hmm. And then the shelter said he was 5 and a half. And I was like, half?
Yeah, half.
Weird. Like, you can't tell that.
Just say ish. He's 5-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, the shelter said Jack was 1.5 years, and then the vet said that he was 3. And so if he's 3, that makes him 16 now, or older. So I'm like, but he also doesn't seem like that. So it's like, I really truly don't know. He's a turtle. He also, I'm fully prepared for the test to come back and be like, 42.
Yeah.
Immortal.
He served in Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm older than you, lady. Don't worry about it. You've been the baby the whole time.
Allison, how are you? I have just been watching you from afar, so proud.
Aww. Yes.
And your show and everything you're doing. Let's talk about your show.
Okay, fine.
actually, last night was the first night of this like extension of my show, Oh God, a Show About Abortion, which I did 6 weeks for the first run, and I'm starting like a 3-week run with like a question mark of how much longer it goes. And boy, in next Monday or the Monday after, they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. So it's going to be popular again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there?
And you had no idea. You had no way of knowing that was going to happen when you were developing the show, right? I mean, I guess we could have always known it was going to
happen. I mean,
I
guess it's always been on the table because this country hates women and people who can reproduce. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I knew that June, like for like the last 6 months, we knew that like June would be when a decision comes down, but we didn't know that like the first week of May there would be a leak.
Yeah,
right.
So that was a wild, terrible.
Unless you are the leak for promotion for your show.
Yes.
I mean, honestly,
somebody was like, "You're
proud of you
is
even
good.
More."
I was like, she is. She got all of that to happen. Yeah, that was like a strange week. And everybody's like, so you must be excited. And I'm like, hey, I mean, threading the needle of like, you know how long you wait in this stupid industry for like your thing to get attention that you've been working on your own?
Right.
And it's like to finally get it and be like, oh, it's at the expense of civil liberties.
Right. Like tied together with this. Yeah.
Right. Emotions. The better my show is doing, the worse like our country is doing for women and people with uteruses. It's just like really upsetting.
What a sellout, Allison. I gotta say.
I traded in my whole gender just to get another New York Times article.
I mean, it is really showing, I think, a hole in like The Handmaid's Tale. Like they have not had the one woman show in that world that preceded everything going to shit. So
yes.
Oh, that's true. That should have been in the flashbacks.
Yeah. I would like to see that, like, you cast in that for future seasons as part of the flashbacks.
Yeah. They're like, oh, she was joking about this, but then it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. LOL.
What else do you do? So what was the sort of impetus for you to write the show?
I mean, I had an abortion, but I started writing jokes for it for stand-up, like stand-up jokes, and they were like, it's just like every joke I wrote, I like ended up adding and tagging to it, and like all of a sudden it was like 15 minutes of just like stuff about abortion, and I was like, well, I feel like if I could do 15, it could be an hour, which is a very egoistic, like that's, I've done 25% of the work and I'm like, I'll be able to figure this out. And like, I had other stuff like from material I had done that was just like about birth control. And it's like, okay, well that's connected to this for sure. And like stuff about just, you know, being a woman and magazines. And I was like, oh, these things all like tie together. And it was just kind of figuring out like, how do they tie together and how does it all kind of intersect? And it's like, oh, women don't get to talk about their lives, and if they do, it has to be this like awful like, hey girlfriend kind of language. And so it kind of, that kind of became a centering like thread through it. And then because I had an abortion at 35, it had like a little bit more of a, ooh, what's my relationship to motherhood,
right,
you know, element to it. Whereas like if you're like 22, you're not thinking about like, well, I guess I really don't want kids then, don't I? Like, you know.
It's not like a more of a finite decision.
Right. Yeah, and like it's not like looming in front of you in the way that like I was like, well, I'm 35 and I really didn't want to do this. And like, of course, the circumstances were like not set up for me to be like, and here's my family. It was just like a guy I was sleeping with that I didn't want to be with, and a lifestyle that I've like, I don't want kids. And it like made me really confront like how much I feel that. So it's also about, you know, motherhood and womanhood and the conflations of our identity with being mothers. And it's super fun.
Yeah, that's funny because those are topics I think about a lot. And I guess I hadn't really necessarily put them together the way that we pressure women or assume that women want to be mothers in this society. And then now the way that we're going to force it on them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now. Yeah. And like, it doesn't, I don't like tackle the politics of it because I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like a stupid person, so I don't know how to talk about that stuff appropriately. But it's also just like, it's a story that happened in the past. So I'm like, the current politics don't change it, except that I guess like in most states, I wouldn't be able to have the abortion I had, which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been fun. Feels weird to say fun, but no, it has been.
It should be, though. I mean, it's a light show. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're a comedian. And I think it's important that people have this take on abortion. I'll never forget, I think it was the second time Obama ran, during the presidential debates, he said, it's always a sad thing when someone has to get an abortion.
I hate that.
And that pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I love Obama so much, but that pissed me off so bad because I was like, no, it's fucking not.
No, yeah, someone, it's just like a medical procedure. That's what it should be looked at.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It is for some people. It absolutely is sad for some people, but it is not sad for everybody. I think that language of like, it should be like safe, legal, and rare, and like it's this necessary evil. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the only thing I felt bad about after my abortion was that I didn't feel bad because our culture has imprinted on me that we're supposed to feel bad. And I didn't because it wasn't that kind of experience for me. And it's like, oh, we shouldn't make women feel guilty for not being sad that they did something good for themselves.
Yeah,
they chose themselves.
Well, that's the basis of our entire culture.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, these women start putting themselves first, then what's next?
Society will be in decline.
So are we facing, like, and I'm sorry because I think I've been avoiding it just because I've been so freaked out, but, like, is it truly, like, going to be overturned in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Almost certainly.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already functionally overturned in so many places currently, you know.
So will it be illegal everywhere, or will certain states you'll be able to get
it? It'll be state by state, but there's a bunch of states that have laws that'll go into effect as soon as Roe is overturned.
Right.
That will effectively...
Jesus fucking Christ.
Eliminate access to abortion or restrict it to the point where, like, 6 weeks is objectively just a total ban. Nobody knows they're pregnant at 6 weeks. That's like,
no, no, yeah. Yeah, like,
no.
No. It takes a week for you to even realize your period is late.
Right. Yeah. And then you're not, and then you, like, you have to wait a couple days. Like, you can also only have a procedure abortion if you're after 5 weeks. There's like some medical reason that like there has to be like enough to justify a procedure versus a pill. So,
right.
You like, and then like you need to wait. You can't make that appointment until a certain, like, it's just like, it's ineffective. Total.
No, I mean, and especially a lot of like, younger people who will be really affected by this and aren't, you know, paying attention to their bodies much. Like, I, when I was younger, I had no like concept of like when I was getting my period or anything. And no, they can be so irregular at that point too. Yeah.
A lot of people are like, yeah, that's it. Like, a lot of people are not like, oh, every 17.
No, it's yeah, I mean, a lot very of regular.
Have a plus or minus situation.
Yeah. And then if you're busy and you're like, oh shit, I missed it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well.
But, and like, also.
That's it.
It should just be that you want an abortion, so you should be able to get one. Yeah. That's all.
The only reason
it actually shouldn't. Yeah. Yeah.
I want
one. I've really been struggling with this whole. I mean, I'm taking it so personally. Because it's so deeply insulting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really. I have so much rage. I actually have had to, like, kind of log off Twitter and not be there because all I ever want to do is just yell
healthy
about.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
That's just like a genuine. Like, I think, like, doctors should recommend that.
Yeah. No, seriously, because all you want to do is, like, rage tweet. And it's just like, then like, someone's going to come in there with their fucking asshole comment and try to take you down a peg or whatever it is. And it's just, like, not worth it because you're just like, you have no respect for how this actually affects me. Go fuck yourself. No.
You know what's crazy is I have gotten virtually no like hate messages or replies anywhere. Like,
really?
Instagram, that's amazing. I hate that that's like so rare, but I'm so glad that you haven't had to experience that.
I'm like, is the show not doing well?
Like, you're like, how well like, could this be doing if I'm not getting hate mail?
How good is this PR person? I don't really know. You should be like waking up with anxiety nightmares because of that's when you know you're a success.
A father of six from Idaho should be telling me that I'm a baby murderer every single day, or else what are we doing here? But like, it's like, when there's an article, like there was like some HuffPo interview and like that had like 80 comments of people just like fighting about abortion in the comments. And I'm like, but like no one is like,
no one's like coming for you.
No one is like, like on Instagram, like in the comments, like none of that. Nobody's in my like, you know, requested messages anywhere being like, you're a terrible person. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, those guys are spread really thin right now. You know, they've got a lot of they've got pride parades to show up to and intimidate people. About. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
they really they have a lot on their plate.
Well,
yeah, it's basically like tax season for accountants.
Also, I'd be curious to know, like, the Venn diagram of, you know, anti-abortion assholes and off-Broadway aficionados.
I guess they're not like on Today Ticks, like figuring out what they can.
Yeah, they're not getting those alerts.
Price drop. Yeah, probably not.
Did you ever think you were going to be off-Broadway?
No. I never spoke into a microphone until I started doing stand-up like 12 years ago. Like, that was I was not a performer of any kind. So, like, Broadway stuff, I'm like, that's for singers and dancers. Like, that's not for whatever the fuck this is. Like, like, comedy is so stupid. It just doesn't seem like it belongs in a nice place.
So how much, like, how many shows a week are you doing?
7.
Wow. So how has that been as a,
it's every night and 2 on Saturday.
Wow.
It's brutal. And like, it's so funny because like, I talk to like people who are like really working the road right now and they're like, it's brutal. And I'm like, yeah, man, but like you're off or off-ish and like fucking around like for at least 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, you get a few days off in between. That's like every night.
Yeah, and it's just like, not that if you're doing weekends, you're not also doing a ton of stand-up in between, but like it's just like every single day is like, and it's a, you know, it's a 70, 75 minute show. Like, and it's not like, oh, get up and like fuck around and like, if you want to do something else, you do something else. And if you want to kind of phone it in, you could phone it in, or you could do crowd work. Like, there's like, you have to get up and like do your little play.
I was going to say, does anything change like night to night, or is it pretty much just the same?
I mean, I'll like riff if like there's stuff going on in the crowd or like sometimes like I'm still like always like tinkering with jokes. So like sometimes I'll change something here, but it's like overall like pretty much the same. And there's like, it's a comedy show, but there's also like moments of real vulnerability in it. And like holding that is super exhausting. Like it's one thing to be like screaming and being like, I said no, or like, you know, whatever dumb joke you want to scream at the top of your lungs. But like, it's another to like take quiet moments and like feel everybody like holding it with you. And it's tiring.
Yeah.
It's so tiring. I don't understand. I used to do stand up, like, you know, when you start out and you're like, I do four open mics a night, six nights a week. And I'm out from 5 to 1 a.m. And then I go to my day job where I do data entry from 8 to 5. And like, I like, and I was like, well, first of all, that was like, you know, 9 years ago and I had a different energy level and metabolism. But but it is like crazy how exhausting it is. It's
very tiring, that's so interesting. Sure. That makes so much sense, especially the vulnerability part of it, of just like, I mean, you're like laying your heart out there for everybody. And it's like, all right, let's all soak this up together, shall we?
Yeah. Yes, right.
Well, and I've seen clips of the massive dance number that you also close it out with, too. And that just seems physically grueling.
Yeah, acrobatics and
You're doing that pink thing, right? With the the twirling and the whatever it's called.
Speaking of that, I watched the Tonys on Sunday night, and did they put Ariana DeBose to work? She, like, no other show does the host have to, like, step her pussy out and be the lead in a full fucking musical. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it's normally,
before
like,
more than hosting a show.
Two guys in tuxes being like, so I guess women act now. And you're like, okay.
Oprah's here. Yeah, okay.
I know. I was weird. Yeah.
Doing like, dancing and singing is like, I was always like, oh, I'd love to do that. And then I do like one karaoke song and I'm like, oh my God, how does anyone do all of those things at once?
Yeah, I need to take like a pill afterwards.
Yeah, I can't.
Too old. It's too hard. Physical stuff is for young people. Yeah. I like have started to understand, though I'm still vehemently against, why some comedians sit on a stool. As I get older, I'm like, I get it. I know it. Like, unless it's like for an artistic reason and then I don't understand. Mm-hmm. But if it's purely physical, I'm starting to understand why some of these older men sit.
Yeah.
Just need to take a
little
off.
You need to lean a little bit.
Well, it's like also at what point in the set are we sitting? If you're coming out and sitting immediately,
no.
No. But if you're
40 minutes in, I'll sit down.
I'll give you a sit at that point. That's fine.
Yeah. It's so hard to just stand up for 70 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's so funny because a stool is like force it, but yet in that situation, we're like, we will not use you for this purpose.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you guys. I sit on the stool sometimes.
I'm not an anti-stool sitter. Wow. I don't care.
I'm sorry. I'm a storyteller. If I'm about to launch into a big, long story, I'll plop my ass down.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Damn. It changes. I think it changes. It's like,
it's right. Here we go. Like, here's story time.
Yeah. Digging in, settling in.
But
a stool is also not a comfortable place to sit for a long period of time, though.
No.
No, it's like, not. You're like crouched and perched. Yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do with your back?
Yeah. Not for me.
Just, tuck and use your core. And
that's what they're meant for. They're bar stools. Yeah, they're meant for like huddling over the bar and thinking about all your mistakes.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to lean on something if you're on a stool.
Yeah.
That would actually be nice if stand-up stages had a little bar for you, too.
Yes.
So you could like do a whole dramatic. Then its own thing, its own show.
That would be amazing. The band Flogging Molly tours the bar, a fully stocked bar. They bring on stage to them every night. And it's just a full, beautiful setup with a bartender.
Cool.
It's adorable.
Oh, I love that.
Bartender.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They travel. Uh-huh. They're Irish. They travel in style.
I have a question. This could even be a new segment, but it's in my head. The segment is called Am I the Lady Asshole? Because I need tell me if I was the asshole.
Okay.
Okay. So I need new headshots really bad. I haven't had new ones in like, I literally have 10-year-old ones that I'm using for like commercial auditions and shit. And so I was, contacted someone about doing headshots and we set it up. And the week of, I was having like really bad rosacea, So I emailed her, I think 3 days before. And I was like, hey, my skin's like fucked up right now. Can we reschedule at some point? And she said, yeah, no problem. And so I had sent her a $50 deposit. Mm-hmm. And I that was a few months ago. I finally was like, okay, I think I'm ready to like get them again. I had to get my hair colored to get, you know, all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I emailed her last week and I was like, hey, you know, can we set up the shots? Whatever. And she goes, oh, I moved out of state actually. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And then I said, well, like, well, can I get my deposit back? You know? Yeah. And then she wrote back and said, well, normally I don't give deposits back for canceling or rescheduling, but sure. And so I was like, okay. And it's like, well, you moved. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't give me an opportunity to get them again. You didn't say it was non-refundable. Like, I was going to use that $50, like, right, later.
If she had said that, like, hey, I'm moving in a month. If you want to do your headshots, like, you have like 3 weeks to figure it out or whatever. Yeah. And then you don't, then that's on, you know, then it's like, okay, well, now you're choosing not to do it more. Right. Or less. But like, to just be like, I'm gone.
Like, she was just like, I'm gone. And I was like, okay, well, can I have, but the thing is, she said yes and she still hasn't sent me the money. So I'm like, okay, cool. Do I have to do a fucking like follow-up email? This feels like, I feel like such an asshole. It's only $50, but it's still like, I mean, I like thought we were going to do this. Yeah.
That's your
money.
No, I hate this.
Yeah.
This is so rude. I hate that she even mentioned the, I don't normally to you. The money should have been immediately refunded. You, wasn't your fucking choice for her to move out of the state?
Yeah,
it was just such a weird. Okay, good. Thank you. I do feel like, you know, obviously it sucked. It sucks when someone cancels something, but I did it like a few days before. It wasn't the morning of or something. It was like enough time, you know.
And you were like having a skin issue. It was a situation totally out of your control.
Right. Yeah. I also feel like after the last like couple of years, we all need to be a little bit more understanding about rescheduling of just shit in general.
Right.
Like life just shit just happens.
Yeah, I do find. Do you guys find this lately? Like I'll have periods of time where I'm like very like proactive and I'm like scheduling things and like, yeah, let's hang out. And then it like comes to it and I'm like, I literally cannot talk to another person right now. I can't do this.
Oh, yeah.
And before the pandemic, I did that. That's
yeah. I think it's just a getting older thing, too. And like you just have so much energy for whatever. But
yeah, I do think that like our ages and the pandemic were like a unique like this is kind of when you start like really settling down a little bit more, just like in terms of like physical and social life.
Yeah.
And so like then also for it to like kind of dovetail with we didn't go outside for a year and a half. that like. It really, like, I'm just like, oh, I, like, am all about limits and boundaries now in a way that I never was before.
Totally.
1,000%. Okay, well, I guess I'm just going to send an email. I'm just going to be nice, but I'm going to be like, hey, just following up on this.
I think, did you pay it on Venmo?
Yeah.
Just Venmo request.
I can send her a fucking payment request.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
This is ridiculous. You shouldn't be in this position in the first place. I hate that it's over $50. That's, like, the most annoying amount of money because it's...
Right. It's like, I mean, it's like, it's not nothing. Like, I gave this to you and you moved. I have no option of. And I like, she's like, I don't give it back for rescheduling. And I'm like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. Like,
no, that's like the. That's weird.
Okay.
No, because if you had rescheduled it, it would have gone towards what you're
doing. Right. Exactly.
It wasn't rescheduled.
Yeah.
Right. And you can reschedule because she left. What state did she go to?
She didn't say. She was just like, I'm not here anymore. I'm like, okay.
That's super weird.
Yeah.
No. And I feel like she's using your money to like gamble. I mean,
I immediately went Nevada for some reason.
No, she's betting on ponies with your money, and goddamn it, it's your money.
Well, it's also just weird to say yes, she will, and then to not set. It's like, why would you say yes then? You're just gonna make me like beg for this. It's so like,
No, it's like get that back. Pretty
okay. We have an answer. I am not the lady asshole. Thank you.
You're not
the lady asshole.
Okay, I feel good.
If people want to call in or write in their "Am I the lady assholes?" we'll take them.
Please, I think this would be a fun new thing. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back in a second.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Allison.
Yay.
Nailed it.
Okay, we're gonna play MySpace and ask you some silly questions. Let's play the song.
It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace quiz.
Okay, these are silly random questions. No wrong answers. Here we go. Have you ever been caught doing something you weren't supposed to do?
Yes. But I'm like, what even? Like, I'm like, I definitely.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's kind of a weird, like, I'm like trying to think of specifics. I think the closest thing, I've talked about this on here before. I think the closest thing I can think of is when my boyfriend, like an old boyfriend, was showering and I searched my name in his email, and then I forgot to erase my name when he came out and he saw it.
Oh no. Devastating.
Yeah. That's so stupid. That's
had he been hard. Emailing about you? I forget.
There were some IM conversations. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mostly about my fear of commitment, and he was right.
And that's a very vulnerable IM conversation for like a dude to be having.
Yeah,
I know. I think he was just like, it was kind of like, I don't know if she's into it or something. Like,
wait,
yeah,
is this a boyfriend that we know? Is it who I think it is?
It's Androsky.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I do remember when I was, when I had a day job at, I worked at USA Today doing like ad sales data management. I have no idea what I did there. And I was definitely really bad at it, but it was a job that was like from 9 to 5 and I could leave at 5 and there was no work to be done. So I could like do open mics. My boss was, an internationally famous reggaeton musician.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
So he would, like, spend his weekends, like, flying to Thailand. And I was like, why do you work here? Like,
yeah.
What?
If you're that, like, why are you here? Like, as, like, an ad That's sales so... manager for USA Today's magazine. Like, what? It's,
so
like...
So funny.
But I would just, like, I could give a fuck about that job. I did not do anything there. And he knew it and was not always pleased. But he would always, like, be like... He like turned around one day and I was like just G-chatting up a storm because I'm still a G-chatter.
Oh, I love that.
And he was like, wow, I know what holding your job. On. He was like, I don't know what you're typing because there's no reason for you to be typing that much. And I was like, okay. He was like, just do your job first, then you can type to your friends or whatever you're doing. And I was like, okay. He was weird.
Oh man, I love. It's funny being like a international reggaeton artist that's like uptight about your ad sales job. That is a real,
sad unicorn. I was like, "Why do you do this job?" And he was like, "Health insurance." And I was like, "Aren't you like, can't you just pay for health insurance? Like, if you're a famous musician, like,
yeah. Wow. I mean, yeah. Who knows?
Apparently not. Yeah. I feel like especially if was this in the peak days of GChat?
This was like. 2010?
Yeah, that's peak G-chat.
That's peak G-chat.
Everyone, yeah. It's totally unrealistic in that time period to expect anyone not be G-chatting.
I was like, I had like 6 boxes over at a time. I was like just like typing.
Yeah, right.
He's like,
so
I know
you
what
get
your
called
job
out
is.
For typing.
Your job is like not typing at all.
Like, your job is like pointing and clicking in
spreadsheets
or something.
Yes, it's like clicking and hitting enter sometimes and like reading things. And I'm like, interesting. I haven't done any of those things. And then like physically filing things. And I was like, what year is it? I hate it here.
Oh my God. Filing. What a lost art form.
I was not good at it. And it's truly just alphabetizing.
Yeah.
I had a job in high school that I really liked. Actually, I worked at a lawyer's office, which is like a fun job for like an 18-year-old, you know? Mm-hmm. But we specialized in civil cases. And I remember one of our biggest class action, we had a class action case that was against a doctor who maimed a bunch of guys' dicks. Mm-hmm. He did penis enlargements and fucked them all up. And one of my jobs at that work was to file all the dick pics. The maimed dick pics.
God. That feels like not a job that you can legally give to like
Were you
18 a young
yet?
Woman.
Yeah, I think I was just barely. I think I was probably 17 when I started.
Oh. I think you might have a lawsuit, actually.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
But you guys, I like love this job. Like, I thought it was such a fun job. But yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that. Poor guys.
Really,
that's so sad.
Yeah, that sucks.
I know. Jeez. And then their wives were actually able to sue as well because they.
Yeah.
Fucked their husbands.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That is. Actually, that's very good to know because, you know, I consider like plastic surgery sometimes. And it's like nice to know that if something goes wrong, both me and Adam can sue.
Yeah.
He's like, you fucked up her tits or something. Her tits don't get me hard anymore. I'm gonna sue. That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, not funny. It's sad.
No, it's sad. But
Boner Court.
Yeah. Boner Court.
The best way I can describe these, one of them, I just will never forget. I'm sorry, I'm going to be really graphic right now, but it looked like a grapefruit with a head on it.
Oh, fuck.
What?
Like, the it was shaft. Like, yeah.
The it
shaft.
Was just round?
It was a round. It was circular. Fuck.
Oh.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll feel bad. I'm going to feel bad for a man for 2 seconds.
Yeah. A moment of feeling bad for men. Okay.
But God damn.
Oof. Okay. Allison, what are you listening to right now?
What am I listening to? Like, nothing. I don't listen. Like,
someone asked me what kind of music I listen to. It's such a weird question to ask someone. And I was like, why are you asking me this? I don't even know how to answer that.
I also think like 25 years ago there were separate music genres.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
now
yeah.
I just don't think that there are. I'm pulling up my liked songs on Spotify just to be like,
oh, there we go.
Here?
Oh, yeah,
Sophie B. Hawkins, As I Lay Me Down, the song number two. Great.
Nice.
Rod Stewart. I don't know. I listen to a lot. I like stopped learning about new music like 20 years ago and just gave up. And
I'll have like one like sneak in every few years. You know?
Something will like be in an ad and I'm like, interesting. And then that's a song I like because I'm almost 40 and that's how I like music now.
Like, we used to be pissed off when your favorite band was in an iPod commercial and now it's like, oh, who's this young fellow?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, Muna? I don't know. I like their stuff.
I don't even know who that is, so you're ahead of me.
Sad. Yeah. For all of us, not like for you.
Is anyone else because I have Sling TV now, they play the same commercials over and over between stuff, and I want to, die. But there's so many ads for, you know, like medical shit. And one of them has this song, and I'm sorry, I'm going to expose all of you to it now. But it goes, it's like, nothing is everything. Nothing on my skin. That's the new plan. I hate it so much.
I think it's for like plaque psoriasis or something.
Yeah. And it's just like, I hate the beat. I think I just hate the rhythm of how they go, nothing on my skin. And I'm like, no, that doesn't fit in there. I don't like it.
I know exactly what song you're talking about. Well, also, like, even like, I have cable because, again, I'm an old person and I love having cable. And even on cable, there's only like 12 ads.
It's and I know it's on purpose, and it just like, oh my God, it's maddening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of eye bulging disease ads. Are we all seeing those?
Yes,
I'm like, is this a new problem, or has this always been a medical problem?
I think it's one of the side effects from one of the other medications that you have to solve with new medication.
It's an, like, pharmaceutical ads are an MLM. Like, it's just, they all create like different tiers of like,
and it's just the same thing every time where it's like a woman like smiling and laughing with her dog, and then in the background they're like, this could cause anal leakage or whatever, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah, do you like your asshole? Don't take this. Wait, so this is the song that was written for the commercial then, or is this like,
yes, it's okay. Not, yeah, it's, I not assume, like a pop song.
Okay. But the lyrics, like, nothing written on my skin, I can't imagine that actually. Okay, got it. Doesn't happen often. Usually it's a song that's brought into a commercial.
No, they have,
now it's,
they
all
have,
I can think of.
They definitely did it, and I'm so sorry. And they made, and like, they're doing it in various styles. I just saw a new version of the song, and I'm just like,
You know what? I will say,
skin song.
I fucking hate McDonald's and probably have never eaten there in my life, but I did like when they were doing the different covers of the ba da ba ba.
Oh, they're still doing it.
I like
Brian Cox is doing it from Succession.
Oh,
he's the McDonald's ba da ba 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 person.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of fun. It's iconic.
It is. That's a very good, like, yeah, they did a good job with that.
So it's very funny because this song is called Nothing Is Everything, and the lyrics are available online. I just want everyone to know.
Oh, of course it is.
Things are getting clearer. Yeah,
getting
I feel
clearer.
Free.
My life is free.
Feel free.
To bare my skin.
To bare my skin. Yeah, that's on me. All of a sudden, I'm so happy that someone else.
It like has been, that's an earworm that has been ruining my life.
I know.
Wait, can I go? This next line is, Nothing and me go hand in hand.
Nothing and me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin. That's something planned.
That's my new plan.
That's my new plan.
And then nothing is everything. And then nothing is everything. Instrumental break. I see nothing in a different way. And it's my moment. I just got to say, nothing is everything.
This is...
Nothing is
actually
very
fascinating.
Existential.
Yeah.
These lyrics are.
See nothing in a different way.
Probably some brilliant kid from Berkeley who should be writing music for Justin Bieber or something.
I know. I really.
But he's getting more money from like Cymbalta.
Right. Yeah.
I really am. I'm trying to find who wrote the lyrics, but come on.
Wow. They don't want to be known. That was, yeah. If you want to write your next show based around that song, I'm in.
I couldn't even tell you what happens in the ad. It's the music. Like, it's. I don't know one scene of it. I don't think I would recognize it if you showed me a still.
No,
right now.
I think I'm also like actively trying to avoid it. Looking at my phone or something.
That's when I'm looking at my computer and not my television, or my phone and not my computer, or like whatever of the three screen nightmare that I'm living in is
right.
Happening.
I will say that is definitely when I realize like how addicted I am to stimulation is I will be like, if I'm watching something that has commercials, like a live reality show or something, I have to have my Kindle or my laptop next to me for when there's commercials and I need something else to look at.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like never watching TV without a secondary screen.
Okay, good.
Like sometimes I put down my phone and I'm just like laying on the couch because I'm like too lazy to hold anything and I'm like, wow, I'm really focused. Yeah. Really locked
in. I have to say I had like a... I had a moment the other day with TLC, the Learning Channel, where I decided I'm never watching it again. Because they have this show called Unexpected, and it's about like young women who get pregnant unexpectedly. It's basically like Teen Mom.
Yeah.
But there was a kid on it who was so abusive to his girlfriend that I was like, I can never watch this channel again. Yeah, because I was just like... The whole channel. I was like, the fact that they put this person on TV is like unacceptable to me. And like, and he thinks he's a star because of it. Like,
of
all I saw was one reunion show because it came on after 90 Day Fiance. Ooh. And like, this guy literally, he wouldn't allow his girlfriend to get an epidural during childbirth because he said it was a drug and that she'd be a drug addict. And it would make the kid be a drug addict if she got it. So she was in labor for like over 20 hours and he wouldn't allow her to get it. And then she finally did and he started calling her a drug addict and I was just like, person can't be on TV. I am not. This is
why
not okay.
The hospital just also like remove or was he
they did. He got
reunion?
Arrested. They fucking kicked him out and he got arrested.
Yeah,
but like,
the thing about some of that like unscripted stuff is like sometimes you see stuff and you're like, oh, no, we've lost the thread here. This is too dark. This is criminal.
No. And like honestly, 90 days going that same chance, like it's starting to go down that path where it's like people are so manipulative that I'm like, I just can't support
that's
this.
How
like,
I felt about the storyline on Housewives of Salt Lake when the wife Jenny, whose husband wants her to get a sister wife, that was so deeply, I was like, this is abusive, this is just like psychological
abuse. Like I understand and that sometimes it's important to see that stuff, but like I'm not gonna watch something that like actively is enabling. Like this kid was just like, everyone watches this show because of me and stuff. And I was like, all right, I'm no more 90 Day Fiance for me. I'm done. I'm done.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it makes sense. It's one thing to see it, but it's seeing it versus normalizing it too, where it's just like, no commentary on it. Then you're just like, well, that's just a thing that happens. And it's like young people are seeing that versus being like, this is bad.
And you know, everyone's trying to tell the girl like this guy sucks and she's defending him. And then he's like, you didn't defend me enough. Like really bad. Just, ugh. Anyway,
I will say,
sorry.
I had a friend who got fired. She worked at a fancy restaurant in Hollywood. And she had one of the teen moms as a customer. And you know how, like, when you wait tables, you, like, name the tables?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The girl, she named the table bitch. And she forgot. She forgot to change it back before she dropped the check.
That's so funny. I would laugh if I looked at the thing. It was like table bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I also never ever look.
No.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
No.
And like,
I just
kind of like, have
my
to
reputation precedes me.
Yeah. Like you have to know that's why it says bitch.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
That's so funny.
I'd be like, do you listen to Lady to Lady?
Lady okay. Asshole. That's what you're saying.
Lady Asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's the first thing you notice about the opposite sex?
Ooh, I mean, if they're holding a knife or a gun.
Which clue is it?
I hate to say this, but hair is definitely like a first thing for, like, I don't know, as someone with like lustrous thick hair, I'm seeking the same. And I just think, like, we've all, I feel for men who like lose their hair, and especially like slowly, like it seems like it's you can't really do anything. There's like some rough in the middle parts. Like, you kind of at some point have to commit to like just shaving it. And I feel for those guys. But like, when a guy has like great hair, I'm like, I'm listening. No gun and nice hair. Like, okay.
No gun and nice hair.
That's truly all I'm looking for at this point. The standards.
Yeah,
are
I mean,
on
it
floor.
Really frames someone's shape, and then I appreciate it too. And they just go for it, and it's like, if you do start shaving it, I feel like that's a good, like, you know.
Totally. So many handsome men who have a shaved head, like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But
oh yeah, for sure.
But nice hair, I notice.
Yeah,
I would.
Is there a type that you particularly like, or just nice
of hair?
Yeah,
I think just like in general, like thick. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, I'm still blonde men, I'm still always like, what's this?
Yeah. It's a little Draco Malfoy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a little, it just feels wrong. It's like, shouldn't you have outgrown this by now? Like,
yeah. It's a bummer though, because they're not, I mean, I've never seen a blonde guy, well, other than Mark McGrath, that continues to dye it blonde. But
yeah.
You know.
Wait, have you guys seen Jonah Hill is blonde right now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm about to say something I don't want to say, but he looks pretty hot, I think.
I think
he looks good with blonde hair.
I think he has phases where I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, he's got a glow up period currently, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. And like, he's cool. Like, he looks cool.
Exactly. And it, like, he looks like hip, I think.
Yes.
Like,
Adam was talking about, I think he would look great with the dyed hair. I love it when a guy just goes like blonde out of nowhere. That's
like
always
that
fun.
Platinum.
But that's like such a decision and work.
I always just like when they do that, because I'm like, it's not so fun, is it?
Like, yeah, like, see how you have to actually upkeep something?
Yeah.
You don't just roll out of bed and you're like, this is how I look, and it's fine.
Must be nice.
I don't dye my hair, but I am living in fear of the day that it needs to happen, possibly.
Yeah, I had to start, like, mine just got so dark that it was not as red anymore. And I was like, I miss my, like, red hair. So I had to start doing it, but it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive. I guess I got used to it. I've been dyeing my hair since I was, like, I think 16.
Yeah.
So it's just like an
You're like, this is a part of the expense of being me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Last question before we take a break. Best sexual food.
I'm like, anytime we're bringing like something stickier in, I'm like not thrilled with the idea. I like to keep my world separate.
I'm not like a food in sexual situations. So
or just
it's like,
or is this
maybe
just
it's just like on its own, what's the sexiest
like
food?
Oysters are just sexy. Like, they the act of eating them, how you feel when you eat them, like kind of the there's a whole like ritual to it where it's like, squeeze on the lemon, like put on some mignonette, like put it back upside down, like all the crushed ice that's available, like it's very sexy.
It's a good ice too.
See, I'm not like a seafood person, so for me it's like, that seems like the unset. Like, I don't know why, but I'm imagining those little ghouls from Little Mermaid. That's what I'm imagining.
That
I'm swallowing.
Kind of what oysters are.
Yeah, I think those are. Yeah, but that's
the
also
closest,
I think,
cartoon analog.
That is like a nice parallel to sex, though, because it's like, I think they're good, but like admittedly quite gross.
Yes, and that's what.
Yeah, and sex is gross.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Everything about our bodies is gross.
Yay. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. Everyone.
Hear me?
Hey, everybody. We're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Allison.
And we're going to do some lady problems. If you have a lady problem, please send it to us. LadyToLadyComedy@gmail.com is our email. You can also give us a phone call at 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Yeah, so I am in a relationship with my boyfriend who I dated for almost 3 years in college. We were apart for a while, but now we are boyfriend and girlfriend again. I think we had about, you know, a year, a little more in between that. He has a job that has him sort of live all over the country for long periods of time. And so I have visited him in the past, and luckily right now he's only like a few hours away from me, and we're making it work. We have short distance finally. He's not across the country, but at the same time, I feel like when we talk about the future, like he wants me to plan him into my future regarding, you know, internships and job opportunities. Like, I should stay here because I'm close to where he is, even though this is a temporary job. And, he seems to not just consider me in any of his future plans, and I'm running out of time, so I don't know how else to explain it, but maybe you guys can help me, and I love you, and yeah, goodbye.
I'm running out of time was very, like, mysterious. Yeah. Oh, I think she meant I was running out of time on the message. No. Okay. Yeah, yeah, it sounded like I'm running out of time to make a decision about him.
Which, yeah, that was
which I also understand.
Yeah. Both apply.
Yeah. Girl, I think this guy is not going to work. I don't think that. Someone like you can't be with someone who you feel is not considering your wants and needs and professional aspirations, and you're young. Like, yeah, you are in the point of your life where you should be making decisions pretty selfishly, I think. Like, it sounds like you just got out of college. Who, you know, you actually are not running out of time. You have so much time. Like, you have your entire life is just a runway in front of you. And I would totally make all of your decisions based solely on your own wants and needs at this point in your life. And then at every point of your life, actually. But yeah.
Yeah. You should always, you first all the time. I don't think it's good to, like, make your plans based on someone else's plans.
Yeah.
In general.
No, and especially, like, it's so easy to do when you're in a relationship that you don't even realize you're doing it so often, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it would be really important to just, say to yourself, if he was not, you know, part of the equation, what would I do? And you really need to, like, tell yourself, like, what would my choices be? And whatever makes sense to go down that path, you know, if it's just telling him, like, no, this is what I'm going to do, and, like, you've got to figure it out, great. Or if it just, if that means that, you know, you got to tell him that, sorry, it's not working.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely true.
It was just, like, her voice when she was like, he doesn't seem to consider me in his future. That's when I was like, no, bye.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah. That's got to be equal. Like, it's fine to be like, oh, like, my boyfriend, who I love, is, like, working in Chicago, so I'm going to look for Chicago stuff because then we're both moving together to whatever, or, like, I'm there's, like, ways to, like, have compromise in those scenarios where you do kind of move around plans based on other people, but that has to be, like, both of you doing that, not just, like, him being, like, come to wherever I am and do the things I need you to do until I'm done with this, and then you have to change everything again.
Yeah, because exactly. That'll start expressing itself in other parts of the relationship, too. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you'll resent him, you'll resent the relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. if this is, you know, if you wanted to stay with this guy, I mean, I think it's really worth having at least a candid conversation with him about, like, express that you feel this way. Like, he's not considering your future or your plans. And, like, maybe if you point that out, there will be more of an opportunity for compromise. Because you do have to compromise in a relationship. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes people just legit don't realize what they're doing. I mean, obviously it's not good if that's not his instinct. So that is something to, I think, like, be wary of. But people do need to know sometimes, like, when they're being, you know, a certain way. How old did she say she was?
I feel just like she was like college. 24, 20. 25.
Okay. Yeah. Somewhere there.
Dump him.
Yeah. Also, like, she said they were together and then not for a while, and now they're back together, and that rarely works anyway.
Yeah. And also, like, any long distance. I know you guys are closer together now, but you're still, it sounds like you already have some hurdles and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, follow your instincts, and, like, it sounds like you might be at the point where you're trying to think about ending it, but you just, like, don't want to admit it to yourself, which I get, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's running out of time.
Running out of time. Yeah.
Yeah, life is very long. You're not
just, if you
want
to get inspired, listen to the song "Nothing Is Everything." You know, nothing is your new being; it's just you alone. So, nothing means something new to you now.
Yeah. Also, nothing on your skin.
Yeah. Nothing on your skin. That's the new plan. Okay?
That's the new plan. Nothing on your skin.
Good luck, and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Hi, ladies. I just sat down to leave you this voice message, and as I sat down, I realized my boyfriend packed up our television right before we're moving, so I have no way to watch Outlander in high def. But anyway, you know, I thought maybe we could talk about shitty bosses. I worked my ass off for this woman for 6 years, to the point where it was pretty unhealthy. And I got a really cool job, and she knew I wanted to move on. It was a good time for me to move on. And when it came time for me to actually commit to the position and let her know, she was just an absolute nightmare to work with and started ignoring me. She wouldn't talk to me one-on-one. She would avoid eye contact, just really treated me so coldly. When I worked Christmas and Thanksgiving and so many different weekends for her, like, and I was so proud of the things we did together. And, you know, she was supposed to be a mentor to me. And, you know, it's just, it's a tough breakup, you know, and I'm kind of angry. I feel like I deserved a lot more. So anyway, maybe collectively we can, you know, vent about shitty boss women. I don't know. Love you guys. Bye.
Oh, that sucks. After 6 years?
Ugh. Yeah.
That's so immature.
It's incredibly immature, and it's shitty. And it's also like, you know, so many jobs love to be like, we're family, while they're getting things from you. But the second that you inconvenience a boss whatsoever, then, like, the hierarchy of power just shifts right back fucking in. And it's like, oh, you were just using me a lot of the time.
Right.
You know, and that's so shitty. I'm really sorry that happened.
Yeah. That's also, like, I assume, like, selfish of her because she wants you to be there in that role because that makes her life easier. And now she needs to find somebody else who will do your job as well and who will, like, do all the, like, it's just, that's her not wanting to do her job.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and like, this kind of, like, taking a business situation personally like this, I think really, for me personally, like, I've had to, in my professional life, really steel myself against the discomfort of hurting someone's feelings or feeling like I had a good professional friendship and that I was going to get fucked up because I said no to something or left a position or something. And I feel like women, because society trains us to be people pleasers, make sure everyone's happy and comfortable, like, that is a real professional hurdle that I've had to cross and I think a lot of women have to cross. So I think she's really mentored you poorly by behaving in this way, by acting A, very childish, but B, like, it's a personal thing on her when it's not. It's business. You got a better job. That's how business works, and that should be normalized. Like, it's okay to have a meeting with someone and really like them as a person and then not decide to work with them professionally. Like, that's just business.
Yeah. And she blurred your boundaries so quickly. I mean, she has to be working holidays and shit like that. Like, no, that's it's incredibly unprofessional in so many ways, you know. And like, also, I think it can be very insidious where it's like you're like, oh, we're sisterhood, yeah, but I'm exploiting you even more under this veil of it. And it's like, you know, because you want to let your guard down a little bit more to be like, all right, we're women building a thing together. So it's like, it's that like cutthroat girl boss shit that is like really, it is just as exploitative and you know, just as bad as like male bosses. You know, it's should be talked about.
How can she get like a little bit of revenge? Nothing like... But what's like a little thank you, or what's a little
an all cantaloupe edible arrangement?
There you go. I wish I knew what the business was.
Yeah, right. That would help here for sure.
Well, okay. So we know that there's an edible arrangement that says "I'm sorry," right?
Yeah.
In pineapple letters that we've been daring someone to send to somebody. I wonder if you could switch out, could put "not sorry."
Yeah. Or just like it, "I'm sorry," but then get it sent to your house and then just write "not" and "shit" and then send it to her.
I knew Brandy was going to go shit somewhere. Brandy's revenge level is different.
it's just, you know, steal my time. Get out of here. You make me work on Christmas?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I do want to go back to something that she said, though. The TV is the last thing you pack when you move. What else are you doing? Like, everything else is away. Like, all you have is TV for those like 2 days and the like final kind of like push. Like, fuck your boyfriend. That sucks.
Yeah.
That was such a funny comment because like we've never talked about Islander on the show or anything.
Also, like, it's not that she can't watch it on her laptop. It seems that she's like, no, I want to watch it like on a big screen in HD.
Of course.
Like, unless you left us this voicemail from a U-Haul, things have gone terribly wrong. Like, what?
I know, it's always funny when you're watching like a show like that, that, you know, just like they've put so much time into how it looks on like your little phone or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean gets really annoyed with me because, like many straight men, he has 5 remotes and it's very confusing. And like when he's not here, like our TV has better sound if you switch it to the sound bar, but I don't really care that much. So he'll like come home and God forbid the sound is coming from the TV and he's like, oh, what is it?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm like, just, yeah, the TV. I don't give a shit about like an extra, the extra HD, whatever, blah. I don't care.
No.
No, I just don't want that weird smoothing thing turned on.
Yes, that's the only thing that needs to be gone.
I don't want Mexican soap operas.
Yes. They all look... It's so weird, too. Yeah, when you watch like a show and you're just like, this looks too real.
Or, yeah, I feel like I'm there and not in a good way.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a meeting.
Yeah.
In a way, it almost has like a camcorder kind of... quality.
Yeah. It feels like weirdly voyeuristic, kind of. You're like, I'm too close to what's happening.
Yes.
I have been seeing wild shit in the streets lately with people driving. Like, I don't know if anyone else has noticed this, but just people are doing moves that I've never even seen before. Mm. And this wasn't that crazy, but I saw a guy yesterday with a camcorder sticking up out of his sky. What is it called?
Sunroof.
And just just filming as he was driving. He was just like filming LA as he was driving.
It's a way to lose a phone.
I was like, no, it was a whole camcorder. Like, it was like a full camera. But it was just like, this is going to be bad. This will be bad footage. This is not, you're not going to look at this.
Where was it?
It was in like West Hollywood.
Oh, so it probably wasn't even like a USC kid in like film 101.
Yeah, I couldn't tell I thought he was paparazzi at first because he had a big camera, but I don't know. Mm. But yeah, I've seen someone, I have to tell you this one move I saw. I saw someone in the left-hand turn lane go up to the front and just get in front of the people who were going straight.
I've seen that a few times in the city recently too. Yeah, just like
they were in the left hand turn lane, and the people who were going straight, they just used the left hand turn lane to go straight.
Oh,
basically,
that sounds dangerous.
Yes, it was. I was like, whoa, there's some new shit going on out here.
Oh, people are extremely feral. We're turning. Yeah, like it's so funny because like I think like a couple of years ago, it was like Russian dash cam footage is all like, this is so crazy. And I'm like, we're Russian dash cam footage now.
Yeah, yeah. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I don't know, Allison, you live in New York. Like, people say LA is a hard city to drive in. Every time I'm in a car in New York City, I feel like so panicky and so anxious. Like, people are so mean there. We don't yell at each other here. People roll down their windows and cuss each other out there.
I feel like I see that all the time.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that in LA.
I drive in the
city sometimes. You do? And I, because it all moves so slowly, like, it doesn't scare me that much because you're like, I don't know. Right. Like, and there's so many, you're like, I can always just loop around. Like, there's not a lot of highway drive. Like, I, like, the highway driving of LA, like, panicked me. It's just not the kind of driving I can do comfortably all the time. But, like, driving around New York, I'm like, yeah, this is fine. And I'm like, okay, well, this is also a psychotic way to drive. Like,
yeah, it is. I mean, it's totally
There's also just, like, a lot of people walking around. So, like, you have to have your eyes out.
Yeah, there's just people, like, everywhere.
People are just, like, darting across the street at all times because we don't care about those laws.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I like, truly learned to drive in Philadelphia, so I feel pretty comfortable everywhere else because Philly is, like,
I'm, like,
a war
actually
zone.
Yeah, when I was driving in Salt Lake recently, I was like, oh, there's, like, not enough people in the road. I was like, yeah. I'm, like, more scared. I'm, like, more distracted than I am in LA because, like, in LA, I'm, like, on all, you know.
Yeah, you're, like, top of your senses.
Super paying attention. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, city driving is easier than, like, suburbs driving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry for really exciting.
So one more thing, though. Parking in the suburbs is incredible.
Yeah.
They do have that going for them.
No, it's true. That's true. That's true.
Do we have any last notes for shitty boss? I mean, good for you. You're moving on.
Yeah, you're getting away from her. Something I would say is that, like, she's been a horrible mentee, but I think she has ultimately been a good teacher of, like, what not to do in a way that you don't want to purport yourself and, like, handle yourself in any way. Mm. And I think, like, genuinely looking at, like, what are the things that she did that I would like to not do and, like, just really make an accounting of, like, what you actually learned from this person.
Yeah,
and that includes,
like,
a lot of
valuable.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, you're moving on in the world, you're moving up in the world. Like, how do you not want to be when you were in a position that you were a boss of somebody? And, you know, I think that's, like, a way to take like, you know, more out of a bad relationship too.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. Also, dog shit on our doorstep, maybe. Potentially. Who knows? Whatever. Let us know who she is. Maybe we'll send something to her.
What? I'm not claiming that at all. Brandy.
I mean, you know, whatever.
Well, Allison, tell everybody where they can see your show and where they can catch all your other stuff.
This was so much fun. Currently, my show is running through the end of June at Cherry Lane Theater in New York. So you can get tickets at ohgodshow.com. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter for updates at Allison Leiby. And then just, like, general, you can listen to Ruined, my podcast that I've been absent from for 6 weeks. So Hallie's had some great
You have a really good reason. So
guest hosts have been coming in, but I'm coming back to it this week. So, you know, listen to Ruined.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just a thought. What if you sent a flat Stanley without a return address that has a middle finger? Just a...
Oh, Flat Stanley.
Just
that's
to throw it
a callback. Yeah.
Just a thought.
Perfect.
Super helpful.
Thank you.
Thanks,
again.
Allison. It was great to hang out with you.
Thanks, guys. Good to see ya.
You too.
We'll see everybody next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. I had to call in because the funniest shit just happened. So I listened to the episode with Avital that dropped on Tess's birthday a few weeks ago. Happy belated birthday, Tess and Brandy. But so I live in Southern California and my niece lives in Maryland and her 13th birthday is coming up in a couple weeks. And she said all she wanted for her birthday was for me to fly out. So you know I bought a ticket. Well, I'm flying into DC the night of her birthday. And so I asked if there's anywhere special she wanted to go for dinner because she lives in this small ass town and I know they don't have any good restaurants and I kid you fucking not. I listed off like a bunch of different types of food or places or things like that to see where she'd want to go. And she was being all shy and like coy about it, like, I don't know. And then she goes, actually, Auntie, you know what? DC has a Cheesecake Factory. And I've never been and I really, 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 really want to go. So am I flying across the country to take my niece to a Cheesecake Factory on her 13th birthday? You bet your fucking ass I am. Love you, ladies. Have a great day.
Hi, I am just calling to say, no, we want daylight savings time forever. Nobody wants a 4 o'clock sunset. That was what happens if we would have standard time all the time in the winter. If we kept daylight savings time, the earliest would be like 5 p.m. Can totally handle that. Daylight savings time for life. Just stop changing the damn clocks. Have a nice day. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.